Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Right. Yeah, we do a lot of messaging and back and forth. It's about phone calls still work really, really well too. You know, so it's like messaging first and then following up with a phone call and being able to send that digital file. Luckily, at least in our retail masterclass, my co-host in that class is from Israel and he sells in the US. So to retailers in the US. So he's used to having to overcome those barriers. And that's why we kind of focus on that. So, you know, use all of these tips that Don is giving you to find these key contacts, but then also make sure that you're ready to present your product in a way that isn't spammy and that, you know, is helping you just kind of have a conversation. And like Don says, send away for it so that they're wanting to sell you something and then you're making the connection at the same time.
Right. And be sure your presentation works on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always get a big computer screen. And there's nothing worse than having all your words too small to read, you know? So like if it should work on the phone with just the normal, view screen. So what are we gonna do when we have a new helper? So you've got a guy, you had some rapport, you've told them, he told you about your product and you say to him, well, listen, can I just tell you, I'm trying to introduce a product too and get some feedback from you and what you think about it. And they'll probably say yes. Most of the time they say yes and will listen to you a short time. And then explain you have a new product you want to introduce in the market. And here you go. Now, if you're overseas, you can't really take them to lunch, but what you can do is set up a time, and don't go for an hour meeting. Can I set up a 5-minute phone call for, or WhatsApp or Skype or whatever with you and set up a time. A lot of times they'll tell you, you can do it right now, but I think it's courtesy to ask them if they'd prefer to set up a time. And you can't be saying too long, 5 or 10 minutes, because otherwise they're afraid of getting caught in a droning on presentation that they're really not interested in. And you can ask the people for their feedback, if you're setting it up, and you could ask them even before you ask them if you can set up a meeting, what is your feedback? What do you think of this product? I mean, are you familiar? I always like to say, are you familiar with the competitors? And I list them. So I say this product and this product. And sometimes if you've done your homework right, they'll know the competitors, but sometimes they'll say no, and they'll say, but I am familiar with these products. These are the 3 products I see that sell best in my market. And that gives you a chance to ask for feedback comparing your product to the competitor product. And you, what's going to happen most of the time, of course, no matter how brilliant your presentation is, they don't really understand your product. And they don't know all the features about it. And the best way to tell them about those features is for them to ask you questions. I let this competitor product really sells well because it does this or this. This, and they usually can tell you what, or they have an opinion about the competitive product sell well. And you can then, feedback, well, this is what my product does instead. This is why I feel this is better. And I mean, it starts a dialogue going back and forth that helps you communicate your product. I found, when you're dealing with this, trying to get helpers, this is a person-to-person thing. And you the more person-to-person type conversations you have, the much better off you are. I mean, if you just drone on for 5 minutes and don't get questions about feedback or what they think, you know, I find that it doesn't work so well. And the questions you can ask to get feedback are so simple, like, what do you feel are the top competitive products to mine? What products in this space, they all like the word space for some reason, do you feel, you know, are the top sellers, and why do you feel that way? Any questions like that, they'll usually respond. And you can also tie this right back into their product. You know, I see that your product is going into this market. To what competitors are really competing with you in there? What are their products like? Who's the best seller? You can get them talking and starting the conversation by asking them about their product too. Which, you know, you're just trying to establish some rapport and something to say that you're a pretty decent person. You'll be easy to work with. I think if you're an e-seller, and like in a lot of your people, if they're overseas, there's always going to be a reluctance on the American people that maybe this will be more difficult to do than I would like. And the best way to overcome that is in an ongoing conversation where you don't try to just keep talking about your product, but just to show that, you know, you're easy to get along with. Here again, I think it's wise. So we're not really talking patents or patent offers or non-disclosure agreements, but it really helps if you can get an exclusive, like if you don't actually manufacture the product yourself, if you can get an exclusive with your manufacturer or some kind of an agreement that doesn't let people go right around you.
Yeah, and you know, when you go to sell your business, we had a session about selling your business with Yael Kabili and from Fortunet, and that was one of the main factors in how much you're in your business valuation when you go to sell it is actually having contracts with your suppliers, because again, if anybody can just source that and there's no kind of protection, it devalues your business a little bit. So make sure that you guys get an attorney wherever you're sourcing from. You know, so if you're sourcing from China, get an attorney in China. If you're sourcing from India, get an attorney in India. If you're sourcing in the US, get an attorney in the US and have them draw up contracts before you enter into agreements with your suppliers so that you can ensure you're actually protecting your supply chain, because your supply chain is all you have, really. If someone else can find your supplier and you don't have any kind of protection agreement with that supplier, you are kind of at a loss, you know, and there's a lot of really savvy people that can do that if you don't have the proper contracts in place. So really good point, Don.
And you should also have your contract cover future products, you know, related to this product. So if they develop a new product, that you maybe have the right of first refusal. I mean, you can't just get everything for you. And if you do have an agreement, you'll probably have to commit to some type of sales levels too. I mean, companies will say, well, if you want an exclusive, you got to guarantee so much sales. And so there's a back and forth there. But yeah, I mean, and really in the old days, it was hard to find somebody in China. But today, you know, China has all these trade shows. They have trade fairs. You just go over to a kitchen trade fair over to China, and everybody's got all their products right out there. And it's not that hard for them to find your source.
Yeah, true. And import records are public. So they can actually just search your company name and find out who your suppliers are. So if you don't have contracts with those suppliers will actually bring your products to the trade show because right. they don't have a contract not to. Why not? They're showing off what they're making.
Right. So that's another reason it's good to have that contract. And you know, I'm not, in the past, I've been in markets where people have to pay tariffs, even though it's a minor tariff to come into the country and documents. And those are public records. You can actually find the category your product is in and get all the tariff records, and you can see what people are bringing in and the volumes they're bringing them in on. You can see what the other manufacturers are. I used to do that for a sneaky reason, is I wanted to know how strong the Chinese company was, you know, how big a market presence they had. And I could tell that. So if there was a product category and, you know, they have a number for it. You know, you just have to figure out what that number is. And then if the company you're dealing with doesn't sell hardly anything into America, well, that puts you in a much stronger position. But if they're a real big, you know, if they have a lot of people they're shipping to, well, then your position's a lot weaker. So I think those records are good. So when you're talking to someone, you know, I think you're perfectly free to pull out as much information as you can. You can ask them about the reaction to the product. What do they think? What do they think about competitors? And not only is this good information for you, it's a good way to develop a rapport with the person. What do they think is the best way to sell the product? You know, you can ask them key contacts in the market you should focus on. Now, not everyone's going to give you all this information, but I found, you know, usually they're more than willing to do that. You know, explore their interest in helping you. See if they really are willing to help you. Maybe they'd be interested in striking a deal with you. And if not them, do they have suggestions of other people who might help them? Now, one of the things, if you have overseas sellers, to kind of get over is American business people do not jump right into the topic usually. You know, they like to have a little chit chat before. And I found that, and they also are very informal. You know, I found that sometimes overseas sellers are very, they're not informal. They're very formal. They're very stiff. And it really works just like you're talking to a person you sat next to in college class. You know, you're just, hey, where are you from? What are you doing? And things like that. And so asking questions, well, hi, how long have you been with the company? Just a little rapport about, you know, what your background is. And but learn to talk so you don't sound stiff, I guess. And you can practice with each other on that, I think. I'm sure you must talk to people, Amy, and try to help them if they're.
Yes. Well, we do this through our podcast all the time. And my Facebook groups, definitely. So we're in our Facebook groups right now, talking and sharing. And yeah, the big thing is be a good partner, right? Because there's a lot of people that will just reach out to you and kind of be takers, right? Instead of trying to, like you mentioned, Don, you said, take the time to actually ask for their opinion, ask for their advice. Don't just throw your stuff in their face, right? Like, here, I have this product. Can you help me? You know, take the time to say, hey, I'm just trying to connect with others in my industry and talk and learn and contribute. And so relationships are all about give and take and not just one or the other. So I love to learn from others and then also try and contribute wherever I can. And so that's my advice to any of you guys who find some of these key contacts. Take the time to actually just develop that relationship instead of just automatically asking them to basically help you, right? And you'd be surprised how far someone will go out of their way to help you if you do that.
Right. Basically, this is how, like at trade shows, and the way Amy and I are talking is exactly how we talk to any customer. You know, we wouldn't be having any different type of demeanor. But when you go to a trade show and they're at 10 in the morning and they've got no one to talk to, you know, they're very happy to talk to you forever and explain all this, or they'll give you 5 or 10 minutes easily. And And what you'll find when your people are calling you up, sometimes they don't have a lot of time and they might not be that helpful, but many times they can spend 5 or 10 minutes talking to you easily. And always after about 5 minutes, you should always ask them if you could set up if they would like to set up another time where you could go into more details. Even though most of the time they'll say, no, let's just talk now. I think it's courteous and it's good to do that.
Yeah. And then you're also getting their information, right?
Where right. you can you're getting follow their information up. And they might often think of new things to tell you. That's another reason I like to wait. You're talking to them right on the spot. People don't always think of everything, right the first time around. But if, you give them a day or two, they'll think about a lot of other things that they could maybe help you or work with you on.
Yeah, maybe offer to connect on LinkedIn, or I love to invite people to virtual tea because right now we're all kind of stuck. Virtual tea or virtual coffee and be like, hey, do you want to have a coffee next week over Zoom or something? And just, I can send you my calendar. You can pick a time that works for you and we can just chat and I can see how I can help you and, vice versa. And let's just network. And people love to network, and especially right now during COVID, when we're all like stuck in the house, and a nice little Zoom chat or a Skype chat, and just something real informal. And hey, let's both bring a cup of coffee and just connect.
Yeah, the other thing you have to offer people is you can ask them if they would like to know more about how to deal with a Chinese company. How do you find Chinese suppliers or wherever you're from, you have knowledge that they might like to know too, and you should ask them, what they might like to know from you. And many times they'll have questions about supplies or, not necessarily related to your product, but they have questions in their normal business dealings that you could maybe answer.
Yeah, like selling on Amazon, right. selling in e-commerce, different things like that. Like you guys, yeah, don't forget, you do have a skill set that they may gain something from. So that's really awesome.
Right. So you can share that. And also, I'm amazed, there are markets where Facebook groups are just fabulous, like baby mothers of new babies. And if you have products that can go and in this Facebook groups, you really can do well. So those are things too, you might know that they don't know. That could be of help to them. So once you get going, you've got someone who's kind of interested, you can ask for a commitment. You don't have to have this big commitment, to really do it, but you could explore. Now the first one is really for someone who wants to license their product. And, but you may be talking to people who could fit your product into theirs. So for instance, if I have a product line of kitchen products and you have a product that's not in my line, I might want to add it to my line. And this is a different, it's a private label to that company. And that's one thing you could approach is there some way that your company, this might fit into your company's line where your company could benefit, we could both benefit if you sold the product. And usually they'll do that without payment. I always like to ask that first, because that is a really, when you're talking to this person and they're gonna take a product idea up to their management, they're in a no-lose situation. So let's say they go up and take the product and the management says, oh, I don't think it'll fit in. It's not going to work out. That person still looks good. It's a go-getter trying to find good things for the company. And, the company likes to see that. And if it does go through, then he even does better. But there's no way he's losing. No, if he brings an idea to the company about taking your product and inserting it into their line, the company is never going to think poorly of him for doing that. It can only help him. The other things, like if it's an independent sales reps, and again, this is trying to license the product, you can offer 15 to 25% of royalties. if they want to help license the idea. And this would be more of a sale of a product line if you wanted to sell it. But you could also offer people, oh, if you would come on, I would give you 10 to 15% in net sales. You know, if they like your product, there's all kinds of commitments that they could make to you, you know, that would really get them on board to help you. My wife just dropped something. I don't know if you could hear that, but there was a big bang there. So,
it's okay.
but you could ask them, you could really start this conversation, but listen, I know you're kind of interested in the product. Would you like to explore with me ways where maybe you could make money with my product and we could work together where we could both win? And if they're interested, and I found that at least half the time, if they've expressed interest in your product, well, they'll say something like, well, what are you thinking of? You know, so you just are throwing out a comment that's very vague, and they'll come back, what are you thinking of? And when they say that, well, there's several ways to go. You could get a commission on our net sales. You could come on board and have a share of the company, you know, or whatever, you know, you're willing to do or explore. You could just come back with them and make that offer. But it's always best to say, you know, it sounds like you're just a product. Would you just be interested in looking at some ways that maybe we could both win and maybe you could make some money off of our product? And I found that a lot of times they'll say, you know, they'll be interested. Not always, though. This is one reason I like independent sales reps and sometimes retail store managers. They're looking to get ahead. And other people are more comfort oriented. They just want to stay in their job and they're not really interested in trying something new. So, but unless you ask them, you'll never know where they stand.
Makes sense.
And also, you should always, after you kind of explore things, always ask them if you can send them an agreement so there is no confusion on your offer. This is it's always been odd to me, but you go and talk to someone and you list, I don't know what goes through their head. I think I'm crystal clear, but they have a totally different take on what our conversation was. And so,
And Don, how would you suggest getting the right wording for those agreements?
Well, I don't like them to, I like using a memorandum of understanding. So it's not a totally formal agreement. It's more just a listing of concepts of what you're trying to work towards an agreement. So you can look online and they have a lot of memorandums of understanding agreements.
Yeah,
so
I just looked it up, the templates for it. And
yeah, there's lots of them. And it's really only good. Like about 2 or 3 pages. So it's not full of a lot of legalese stuff. And it's really saying we're going to be working towards an agreement with these kind of parameters is really what it's saying. So it's not full of legalese. You know, it's more just a simple letter that, and then.
Like a gentleman's handshake.
Yes, that's what it is. And just so that, you know, they kind of have a good idea. So it's firm on what you're trying to offer. Otherwise, I don't know, without something written up to follow up, I find that people just come away with meetings with totally different, you know, perceptions of what was said. And
got it.
But if you send an MOU, then they can respond, oh, I thought we said this. Oh, I thought you said this. And, you know, you can kind of work it out. But the MOUs, it's just a memorandum. It's not a firm commitment. It doesn't really mean anything, but it lays out the terms of what you're thinking of pursuing. So I usually don't even do them with a lawyer.
Makes sense.
And, you know, and I also like always to have a follow-up. I like to promise what I'm going to do, right? At first. And now you have to remember, this doesn't all happen on one meeting. This could be over 3 or 4 or 5 meetings. But once you kind of have a tentative agreement, you like to tell them first what you're going to do. And then you should set a schedule for what they're going to do. And then you should follow up to advice of the rep all the time, maybe once every 2 weeks or so, or whatever works into the schedule, about how you're meeting your goals. And then if you tell them how you're meeting your goals, you can ask how they're doing meeting yours. So don't just follow up, the rep's supposed to do this, this, and this. What's he doing? Is he getting it all done? Blah, blah, blah. You have to put your own, action schedule on the line too. And you have to meet your schedule. I think it's very important to have both, because this is a partnership, It's not just, you're just going to do everything yourself.
Got it.
So to be follow up, you shouldn't really have an action list that's more than 60 days, 30 days at best. And you can have new action lists, as you go on. But 30 days is best. When it expires, keeps going, have a new list. And of course, I don't like too long a list too, because so many things change. Your original action list might not be relevant as you go along. And really make sure you meet all the steps of your action list. And the other thing is, don't be bugging the person, calling every few days. If you have a 30 days action list, call after 30 days. Nobody likes you to be a pest.
Yep.
And so basically the key is just to, just find the people. And I find the trade magazines setting off for literature going. And if you can go to trade shows, that's a great way to meet reps too. Or people who are interested, just walking around booth to booth. I'm not sure if your people ever go to trade shows, but it's not necessary to go to have a booth. You can just be an attendee. And I think it pays to go so they can see what other products are out there. I know that a lot of foreign companies go there and they find ideas that they can modify or change or duplicate and make their own product.
Yeah, well, a lot of people go to Canton Fair in China for that. We have a China trip, and and of course, right now with COVID, a lot of stuff has stopped with trade shows. But there's so many really great trade shows, not just in China, there's great trade shows in Europe. If you live in Europe, there's great trade shows in Australia, all around Canada, South America, trade shows everywhere. So definitely, even if you are overseas, you'd be surprised how many global companies are at trade shows in your area. So don't think that just because you're selling in the US market and you're an overseas company, that you can't go to your local trade shows in your area and still make excellent connections that can help you worldwide. It's an incredible opportunity. So make sure that you're doing that. Another hack that we use is, you can also register for trade shows and as an attendee. And even if you don't go to the trade show, you often get the list of attendees and presenters. And that way you can at least go on the website, you can get key contacts, you can follow up that way, you can see what products they were, they had at the trade show. Most of that stuff has gone virtual now. So it's a really great thing to at least know what trade shows are relevant in your industry. As Don mentioned, know what industry magazines are relevant. I mean, Don, you gave us that hack at Alamo Inventors, and I followed up and I connected with all of the industry editors and editors in chief on LinkedIn. And I'm making those connections and just building out my list because, like you said, there's all these people that want better products, and Amazon has so many great products that aren't known anywhere outside of Amazon. Yet Amazon is like less than 5% of all of retail. I mean, it's grown recently to a bigger chunk of e-commerce, but e-commerce is only 10% of all of retail. So it's like, you guys, you're missing out. There's so much opportunity there. You are just barely scraping the surface on Amazon. If you have a product that has gotten, like Don mentioned, saturated on Amazon, you would be surprised how much opportunity there is beyond. So there's so many great products I know of clients that I have that are saturated on Amazon now, but the local stores, you cannot find those kind of products, and they're great products. So just imagine if you make some of these key contacts and you get sales reps and you're able to let them kind of build a sales force for you and let them make some sales for you. Imagine what that could do for you as the manufacturer, really getting your products out there. I mean, that is a game changer. Think about it. Right now, you're only accessing a tiny corner of the market. So, use these tips that Don has given us, graced us with today, and really come up with a game plan of how you can make some more contacts and how you can get out there and find some helpers in the industry to make a difference for your business. Because, you know, you can't do it alone. And there's people out there that are happy to help you. Am I right?
Right.
Good stuff. So.
And I should also mention that, you know, being in a store gets you a lot more sales on Amazon too.
Yes. I recently signed my first wholesale vendor contract and my sales at launch on Amazon tripled. I had my biggest sales day ever. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. This is powerful. So, you know, it really is. It's so great to have that brand trust, you know, it's in having the retail packaging and all of that. It just, customers see that and they're like, oh, have I seen that somewhere before? I think I can trust that brand. I'm going to buy that. They like that. So it's good stuff. All right, Don, do we have any more slides before we wrap it up?
No more slides.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, I will hit the stop sharing button. And right before we go, I just want you to tell everyone how they can get in contact with you, how they can learn more. You're a patent agent as well. So if you guys need help patenting something, Don is amazing at that. So where can we find you, Don?
Well, you can find me most easily on onestopinventionshop.net.
Okay, onestopinventionshop.net. It's funny, Don, while you were talking, I was multitasking over here and I was searching for sales reps, for independent sales reps for pets, because you guys know I'm in pets. And the first article to come up on Google, organically, of course, was Don's article from One Stop Invention Shop. He actually has an article on there about sales reps for pet products, and he walks you through step by step. And he even has some stuff about PetSmart and Petco, which I've been trying to find information on. So thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
Well, it was great having you, Don. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. I'm sure all of our Stellar Roundtable listeners are going to really appreciate this. And if you're listening right now on the podcast and you want to see Don's presentation, you can head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Stellar Roundtable, or you can view it on our website, StellarRoundtable.com, and join us every Tuesday live on Zoom as we interview more amazing guests and learn more really cool things. And you can register free at StellarRoundtable.com/live. Thanks everyone for being here. Thank you, Don, for your awesome presentation, helping us get our products out there in a broader market. And we will see you guys next time on the Stellar Roundtable. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at StellarRoundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, SellerSEO.com, and AmazingAtHome.com.